Chapter 2. Suite 2152, Radisson Montevideo Victoria Plaza Hotel. Plaza Independencia 759. Montevideo, República Oriental del Uruguay. 1720 hours, 9 September 2005. Special Agent David W. Young was smiling and shaking his head as he watched Jake Torin toss peanuts to Max, who snapped them from the air. Chief Warrant Officer 5, Colin Leverett, holding a bottle of beer, stood up from the minibar, looked at Young, and announced, "Two Gun is thinking about sex. He's shaking his head in disbelief and smiling." "Close," Young replied. "I'm thinking I can't believe the general manager believed Charlie's yarn. I'm an epileptic, and this dog has been trained to alert me when he senses a seizure coming on." "I was counting on him having seen that malady on Fox News," Castillo said solemnly. "You always have to have an answer prepared, David." "What our dog lover here was actually counting on working was that $100 bill he slipped the manager," Torin said. "Max is up here, isn't he, despite those no pets signs in 3 languages on the door?" "And a good thing for you that he is, Charlie," Torin said. "You're going to need him to protect you from that cop when he learns you're back." The telephone buzzed. Castillo signaled for Young to pick it up. "Thank you," Young said in Spanish into the receiver. "We'll be right down." He hung up, looked at Castillo, and switched back to English. "The car from the embassy is here."
"That was quick," Leverett said.
"The embassy's only a couple of blocks from here," Young explained, and then added, "Maybe I better take Max with me to protect me from Ambassador McGrory. I don't think he's going to be happy to see me." "Nonsense," Castillo said. "He'll be thrilled. The Secretary of State called him personally to tell him you're coming." "That's what I mean," Young said. "Okay," Castillo said. "You get the keys to your apartment for Jake and Sparkman, and the keys to your car, if that's been fixed. All McGrory has to know about Jake and Sparkman is that they're pilots from the Presidential Flight Detachment and will be leaving as soon as they get some rest. But tell him that, even if he doesn't ask, he's liable to be impressed with that. And then come back here and let us know how he reacted." "Yes, sir," Young said. Castillo picked up on something in Young's tone, something just shy of sarcasm. "Dave," he said, "I learned a long time ago that it's better to piss off one of your guys by telling him again and again how to do something he already knows how to do than to take the chance he misunderstood you. If I didn't think you could handle McGrory, I wouldn't be sending you to the embassy." Young met his eyes, then smiled and shrugged. "Yeah," he said simply. Castillo raised his right arm and hand in the manner of a priest blessing one of the faithful. "Go forth and do good, Two Gun," he said solemnly. Young smiled, shook his head, and started for the door. Castillo waited until they had left, then turned to Munz. "Let's get it over with. Call Ordóñez." Munz punched an autodial number on his cellular telephone. When it began to ring, Munz pushed the speaker button.
"Ordóñez," the familiar voice came over the speaker.
"Alfredo Munz, Jose. I've been waiting for your call, my friend."
"We're in the Victoria Plaza, 2152.
"I know. Stay there."
Munz exchanged glances with Castillo, who raised his eyebrows.
"Where are you?"
Munz said into the phone.
60 kilometers out of Punta del Este. I should be there in about an hour. Did you hear what I said about staying where you are?"
"Yes, that includes Coronel Castillo." "Understood," Munz said, looking at Castillo again.
"They weren't supposed to permit Castillo, or anyone with him, to enter the country," Ordóñez said. "When I pointed this out to them, they wanted to arrest you. I think I stopped that, but I would not try to leave the hotel. Young and 3 others were with us. They were just picked up by an American embassy car."
"I know. Stay in the Victoria, Alfredo."
Very well. There was a change in the background noise, and Munns pushed the phone's end call button. Munns said,
"He apparently meant it when he said, goodbye and don't come back."
"I don't know what to think, Carl." Castillo silently raised his hands in a gesture of helplessness. The door chimes sounded pleasantly almost exactly an hour later, and Munns went to the door and opened it. Uruguayan Policía Nacional Chief Inspector José Ordóñez, a trim, well-dressed, olive-skinned man in his late 30s, stepped into the room. He was visibly surprised to see Max, who sat with his head cocked, as if making up his mind about the visitor. But Ordóñez didn't seem afraid of the dog. He ignored him. He embraced Munns and kissed the air next to his cheek, then looked at Castillo. After a moment, he put out his hand.
"I won't say that I am delighted to see you, Coronel Castillo," he said in Spanish.
"Nevertheless, good evening, Chief Inspector," Castillo replied in Spanish.
"Amazing," Ordóñez said. "If I didn't know better, I'd swear he is a Porteño. The accent is perfect."
"Carlos is an amazing man, José," Munns said. "May we offer you something to drink, Chief Inspector?" Castillo said.
"Yes, thank you," Ordóñez said without hesitation. "Scotch, please, if you have it."
He looked at an array of bottles on a credenza. "Some of that famous Graus single malt, if it wouldn't be an imposition."
"Not at all," Castillo said.
He remembered hearing that Uruguay consumed more Scotch whiskey per capita than any other nation in the world, and that the present head of the family that had had the lock on importing the whiskey for generations was a Dartmouth graduate.
What remote corner of the memory bank did that come from?
He started to open the bottle.
"Just one lump of ice, please," Ordóñez said, "and half as much gas-free water as whiskey."
"Coming up," Castillo said. He made three identical drinks and handed Ordóñez and Munns theirs. They clicked glasses. Ordóñez walked to the window, pushed the curtain aside, and looked out.
"If this hotel had been built in 1939, Millington Drake could have watched in comfort from here, for that matter, from the bar in the Arcadia, rather than having to climb all those stairs to stand in the rain over there."
"Excuse me?" Castillo asked. "The Arcadia restaurant on the 25th floor. It has a bar." Castillo's confusion showed on his face.
"You do know who Millington Drake was, don't you, Coronel?"
"I have no idea who he was," Castillo said.
"Does the name Langsdorff mean anything to you?"
"Langsdorff? Who the hell is he talking about? What the hell is he talking about?
Oh, hell, you are a disgrace to the long gray line, Castillo."
"Of course," Castillo said. "He's buried in Buenos Aires, isn't he?"
"Yes, he is," Ordóñez said. "And from the towers of that building, come, have a look."